The Gemara was in the middle of discussing how do you deal with liver. The liver is kulay dam. So we assume, most of the Rishonim assume, that's how it says in Shulchan Aruch, that if you salt the liver, you will not accomplish what is accomplished by salting any other piece of flesh, because the liver is kulay dam. The salting doesn't help. So what do you have to do? So you have to broil it. But before you broil it, so you have to cut it, chesiv, you have to cut it into smaller pieces that crisscross, and then broil it. After you broiled it, and you've removed all of the dam that's going to come out, so then you rinse it off. Then, if you want to, you can reheat it. Then you can cook it. But the only way to remove the dam is by broiling. That's how the Gemara begins. Rabbeinu Tam didn't learn like that. Rabbeinu Tam said, if you salt it as avada, your problem is solved. The Gemara is talking if you don't want to salt it. Okay. Then the Gemara said, there's another way to solve the issue with the liver. The Gemara says you can do chalita. What says chalita? Chalita means you can arrest the dam in the liver. You can do this trick with any piece of flesh also. If you have, so that's the premise of the Gemara, is explained by the Tosis, the Chetuche Letachas, on Kufid Aleph and Aleph, and the Tosis appears in the first parak also, that what? Dam is usur. There's only dam shepirish. If you have dam evarim, if you have dam from the capillaries, that's throughout all of the body of the animal, so the dam is only also if you squeeze it out. Or if you cook it and the dam goes out because of the cooking, then the dam goes back into the flesh. But if you just have a raw piece of flesh and you eat it the way it is, even a raw piece of liver, not going to taste too good if you eat it the way it lives, the way it is. But that's dam evarim shalo pirish, so that's mutter. That's not a problem. So now the Gemara has this trick. The Gemara assumes that if you put the piece of raw liver or the piece of raw meat into a certain kind of vinegar, you put it into chaimetz, or if you put it into burning hot water, either chalita bechalo, chala is chometz, vinegar, or chalita beroischem, burning hot. So the vinegar, the different kinds of vinegar, so we said, we don't know. We don't know what kind of vinegar they use, and maybe our vinegar is no good. But roischem, there's only one kind of roischem, 212, and the water is 212 all over the world. The water evaporates. It can't be more than 212. But that's why it's questionable. And Shulchan Aruch says, we don't have this practice anymore, to put the raw meat, or to put the raw liver into the vinegar, and to have all of the dam arrested there, because maybe our vinegar is the wrong kind of vinegar. So that's what the Mefarshim ask. Okay, that explains the way why we don't do the chalita bechalo in the vinegar. What about chalita bereischem? All over the world, reischem is reischem. Reischem means 212. So that's what the Gemara says. If you do chalita, if you arrest the dam in the piece of meat, either by putting it into burning hot water right away, if you put it into cold water and you're cooking it, so as it's going to get cooking, so the dam is going to go out, dam is going to go back in. But if you have the water is already bubbling on the fire, bubbling hot, and you throw in the liver, you throw in the raw meat, so that will arrest the dam. And then that's dam evarm shalo pirish, and then later on you can cook it with regular soup. Then there won't be any problem. So the Gemara discusses if one is going to do that. One is going to do the chalita b'chometz, is going to put the raw flesh or the raw liver in vinegar. Sover apapa kamei de Rava lemeim, or apapa thought, telling over to Rava, he told him probably chala asur, the vinegar will arrest the dam inside the kaved, so you can eat the kaved, there's no problem, but the vinegar probably will become treif, because a little bit of dam is going to go out, going to the vinegar. Amalei, so Rava answers back to Rapapa, you're wrong, you must be wrong, ichala asir. If the vinegar in which you did the chalita becomes treif, what are you assuming? That some of the dam goes out from the liver into the vinegar? So the liver should also be asa. If the dam went out, what's going to prevent it from going back in? It's going to go back into the kaved, into the liver. I don't know, but Rava argues back. He says he thinks that he's wrong. If you're going to say, he thinks that's the Matzias. He thinks that if you say that the vinegar is treif because the dam goes out into the vinegar, then the dam should go back in. There's nothing preventing the dam from going back into the liver. So he says, no, you're wrong. Kechad de pole toda bola. Just like the dam went out into the vinegar, goes back in. So he must assume that the vinegar is also kosher. Just like we assume the liver is kosher, so the vinegar is also kosher. It does the job of arresting the dam without any of the dam going into the vinegar. Okay. So the Gemara tells a story. Rav Bar Shavua was a Talmud who learned by Rav Nachman. He visited the Rebbe's home, Ikla the Bay Rav Nachman. So they were serving a fleshig meal. Ay Sulei Kav the Shlika. So they served him liver that was cooked, shaluk. Shaluk is a question what it means. So Rashi and Tosis, many Rishonim say that it means it was very well cooked, more than Mevushal. Mevushal means cooked, and shaluk means it's even gedempt, that it's so well cooked it's falling apart. That's how Rashi and Tosis usually learn. Here in Pesachim and in other Mesichtas, that's how Rashi and Tosis usually say. So they served the Talmud the liver that was well cooked. V'le'ochel, the Talmud didn't want to eat it. So somebody snitched to the Rebbe. They told Rav Nachman, Omrelei. So they told Rav Nachman, Bar Be Rav, the Yeshiva Baruch, the Legav, who's inside eating in the house, Loyochel, he's not eating from your wife's food. He holds that it's not kosher. Umano Rav Bar Shva, one of the students, Rav Bar Shva, doesn't want to eat. So Rav Nachman got upset. Omrelei, so Rav Nachman said, Gomul Shva, force it down his throat. Make him eat the liver, there's nothing wrong. Kuf Yud Aleph. Kuf Yud Aleph Amin Aleph. Is this Kuf? No, more. Yeah. Kuf Yud Aleph. Yeah. So Rav Nachman was so upset, so he said, force him to eat the liver. It's kosher. Kosher l'mahagin is nothing wrong. Then the Gemara says that this issue is really a machlekes hatanoim. Zog the Gemara kit tanoi. It's a machlekes hatanoim. What? If you cook the liver, if it's well done, if it's shaluk, because they gave him kavda shlika. They gave him a kavda that was very well cooked. It was cooked for longer than usual. So the Gemara said that's a machlekes hatanoim, whether it's really kosher or not. Rav Nachman held that as kosher, and the Talmud was chayshish lachomre. He didn't want to eat the food by the Rebbe. So the Gemara quotes a brayser. The first Tanner, Rav Lezer Raimer, hakavod aseres veinen aseres. If you cook liver with other flesh, so the dam goes out from the liver and goes into the other flesh, but it itself is not treif. Neshe poletas veinah balas. The dam will go out, but it will not be reabsorbed into the liver. No, usually, dam shebishlo is midirabon. We paskin. That Tosfos quotes, that's a machlekes in Menachos, where the dam shebishlo is an isa derais and isa derabon, because the Chumash says we're not allowed to eat dam, because dam of karbonis is supposed to be nizrak al gabi hamizbeach. So if you take the dam of the korban and you cook it first, then you zarek on the mizbeach. So the Gemara says you're not yotze. You have to be zarek the dam when it's in its original state. The same thing, yayin should be yayin mevushal. If you pour yayin from the sochem on the mizbech, and yayin was cooked before you pour it on the mizbech, the Gemara says you're not yotze. The same thing, evorim. If you have the emurim, the chelev, you have to burn on the fire on the mizbech. So if you first broiled it in advance and then you burn it on the mizbech, the Gemara says you're not yotze. Everything has to be in its original state. So the Ramah and Shulchan Aruch Paskins like that opinion in the Gemara. The dam shebishlo is only the rabbanim. The other opinion is no. Dam mevushal in the Beis Hamikdash is posel lizrak al gabi hamizbeach, but there's still an isa derais and dam shebishlam. So we assume the Ramah assumes that it's only midrabbanan.
Is the kaved nevachat achad dam? The kaved from a behemoth, from a oak.
Yeah.
Is a long piece of dam, no?
Yeah. So that's what the Rabbeinu Tam says, and this text is kavda on kuf yudam beis. The kaved is kula dam. The whole thing is dam. So, and he thinks minatari, even if you squeeze out the blood, it's also mutter. The whole kaved is kula dam. Nonetheless, it's permissible. There's no halacha that says you're not allowed to eat the liver. So you see the dam of the kaved is excluded from the prohibition of dam. Yeah, but the Rabbeinu Tam holds that dam, kaved has kulas. And we don't hold like that. We hold fakert. Kaved has chumris. That salting it isn't going to help because it's kula dam. We're more machmer in kaved. Not that we're more makel in kaved. Most of the Rishonim don't agree with that Rabbeinu Tam. So the Gemara quotes this issue is a machlekes hatanoim. Nachamal. He says, Kitanoi, where is it? The first Tana, Rabbi Lezer says, if you cook kovid with other flesh, a kovid aseris, the other piece of flesh will become treif, ain't an aseris. You don't have to be concerned the dam is going to go out into the pot and come back in into the kovid. Why not? Nesha paletes, ain't a balas. We assume that dam goes out, it's not going to come back into the kovid. And the next Tana disagrees, the way we have the Girsa in the Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher ben Baraka Emer, he says, sometimes it will become also when. You're right, the kovid is ein aseres. The kovid is the nature of the muscles in the kovid, whatever, maybe it doesn't have muscle. Nature of the flesh of the kovid is that it doesn't absorb the dam, but if it's metuveles, if it's very spicy, so the spices in the kovid make it even softer. And then, oseres vinaseres, not only will asa the other flesh, the fact that it's treated with spices causes it to be soft, and it's going to be balea. And the same thing, shluka. That's the girsa that we have. Shluka, Rashi and Tosfos say, if it's very well cooked, very well done, then oseres vinaseres. Not only does it asa the other flesh, that's what everybody agrees to, but even aseres as well. So what's the machlekes satanoim? I mean, this yeshiva bocha, what did they serve him? Kabda shlika. They served him a kovei that was very well done. That's a Rashi and Tosfos. Shlika min sholuk, very well done. Rav Nachman got up, and the bocha didn't want to eat it. He thought that it was treif. And the Rebbe said, force it down his throat, there's nothing wrong with it. And then the Gemara says, but what the Rebbe said, that's the Rebbe in the Talmud, that's really a machlek and satanaim and the Braisa. So the Talmud held like the second Tana here. Rabbi Shmuel ben Asher Amar ben Breiko, a shluka is seris vina seris. A shluka is overdone. It's cooked so long, so it becomes softer. The kovid, the liver becomes softer, so then it'll be balea back. And that's what the Talmud held. And Rabbi Nachman held like the Tana Kama that it's not so. What do you mean if you acid something? I don't know what he means. What happened?
He never
was
it on
the
store.
No, no,
wait,
he acid it himself.
The Talmud thought that he's a learned person, and the Rebbe said, "You don't know how to learn." No, the Talmud thought he knows Yeridaya. The Rebbe said, "You don't know Yeridaya. I know Yeridaya. You're supposed to listen to my psalkim." He was the Talmud of Rav Nachman, so he said, "You're Ramaritz. You don't know what you're talking about. The din is like this. You have to have a tradition how to paskin. You can't just invent your own psalkim." So the Rebbe was so angry why the Talmud was prav in achumre. So he said, force it down his throat. This whole pshat that we said, this is all Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi and Tosfos assume, and other mesichtas as well, that mevushal and sholok are two different things. Mevushal means cooked, and sholok means very well done, more cooked than normally. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with everything. And the Vilna Gaon and the Bir Agro and Yerideya and this simon on kovid, something in the middle of the ayins, ayin gimel, something like simon ayin gimel and Yerideya, and he claims that he has a raya that sholok means less mevushal than mevushal. Very lightly, it's cooked very little cooked. And based on his claim that sholok is less than mevushal, so he changes the girsas and the gemara, changes all the girsas and the gemara. He thinks that everything's a misprint. It says osa should say mutta, it says mutta should say osa, and he proves everything with Tosefta's. Okay, the Vilna Gaon is entitled to his opinion. Okay, but Rashi and Tosfos learn, we were learning the way Rashi and Tosfos say, that sholok means more than mevushal, more cooked than mevushal. Okay. No, if it's undercooked, there's more reason to be mekel. That's the Mishnah. More reason to be mekel. That was a Mishnah in Trumas. A kovid aseres vein in aseres, because it's not bolea back. So that's what Rashi and Tosfos say. But if it's overcooked, so then it becomes so soft, so then it'll be re-bolea back the dam. No, if it would be another piece of flesh, you wouldn't say I did a total bola. No, but just
the kovid itself. So seris vein and aseris.
Right. We assume that it's for some reason or another it's not bolips. Rashi gave a reason.
So that's not I did the total bola.
I don't know. Is that why? That's how Rashi writes. Yeah. Keeping it true to lift load. Yeah. Right.
The
way
is a dam bishrak shorik that doesn't get paid.
Dam bishrak shorik means if you're broiling. flesh on top of flesh, so the dam goes out and nothing was salted yet. All the flesh is full of dam. So the meat is going to affect the top piece of flesh, the dam is going to go out from that. What's going to prevent it from getting nivla in the bottom piece of flesh? The Gemara said, dam mishrik shari. We assume it'll roll down the sides. Same thing if you salt flesh. You don't have to, the Gemara has an assumption, you don't have to salt all the flesh on one flat level. That there's a big taisus laid on kuf yud base on the base. Maisa the base of Sharashi. You can salt flesh, pile up pieces on top of each other. But the dam that comes out from the top piece, what's going to prevent them from being nivla into the bottom piece? So that's what Taisus shows from the Gemara. There's no problem. The dam will roll down either Mishrik Shorik, or we say just like the salt will cause it to be nivla into the bottom piece, so the salt on the bottom piece will get it out. Kibola Kachpolto, just like the salt causes it to be nivla, the salt will also remove the dam. So you can broil a few pieces of raw flesh on top of each other. You assume you have the right to assume all the dam is going to roll down. You can salt a lot of pieces of flesh on top of each other. That's the assumption in the Gemara. I don't think it's a machlokes hametzias. Shaila, we're talking about dam shebishloi. So dam shebishloi to begin with, dam mevushal is only the rabbanim. And once you salt a piece of flesh, let's say you have a piece of flesh so big, gigantic, and you put salt on all the six sides, 1, 2, 3, 4, top and the bottom, the six sides of a cubical piece of flesh. So the salt is not going to affect the inside part of the flesh. It's going to be full of dam. But the halacha states, the halacha declares, once you did what you're supposed to do, so whatever dam remains after salting is considered moel habosa. Moel is the juice. So here they're discussing when it's only dam derabbanan here. Everything is mevushal. It's dabi varm shepiresh. It's going to go out and go back in, but it's all dam shebishl. It's only derabbanan anyway. So they're discussing how far you go with the chomer derabbanan. How far were they machmen with derabbanan? Then the Gemara tells a story. One of the Amoraim visited the home of another Amoraim, Rabbi Bar on Shabbos. Rabbi Bar Avuna Ikla, he happened to visit Lebei to the home of Rabbi Bar Nachman. One visited the other, so they served them tons of delicious, delicious food. Aisa lekame tlas sove, 3 saw of tachoy, of chalas. With schmaltz on the surface or with honey on the surface, very fancy delicacies. Amaluhu, so he said to them, Mihavi Yadisa Diasina, how did you know that I was coming? They had no telephone. And he came late Friday afternoon, so he said, how do you know to prepare all this delicious food for me? So they said to him, we didn't prepare it for you. He said, today is Shabbos, we always prepare so much for Shabbos, even when you don't come. Amrulay, so they said to him, Mi Adifaslan Mino, are you more important than Shabbos? The Navi Yeshayahu says the Karas of the Shabbos Einik, the mitzvah of Einik Shabbos. Every Friday they prepare such delicious food. So he visited their home and they're serving delicious food, and he thought that everything was kosher. All of a sudden, Adahachi, in the meanwhile, Ashkach, he discovers that they're serving food. Ashkach Ahu Kavda, he sees that they're serving a liver. The liver was attached to the windpipe, and the simpa on the windpipe had some dam absorbed into it because they had cooked the liver in the same pot with the windpipes. So fine, akavid oseres vein and aseres, the kavid itself doesn't become treif, but the kavid oseres, that was the mishnah and trumas, the dam goes out from the kavid, goes into the other flesh that's in the same pot. So this windpipe was there. So he said, what's going on? Isn't it treif? Omalahu, so yes, tamamay abdisu hachi, why do you do like this? Isn't it a shail of kashris? Amrilei, so they said to him, so what do you want us to do? How are you supposed to deal with it? Hechinevid, what should we do to prevent the dam from the kovid to get absorbed into the windpipe? Amalahu, no, you got to do like this. Korish esriyere vichitucha latachas. You have to broil the liver. That's what we assume, that salting doesn't help, and you shouldn't cook the liver. If you cook the liver, it does become treif. If you cook the liver, not only if you overcooked it, even if you didn't overcook it, we paskin shulchan aruch, HaKavod HaSeres Vin HaSeres. The Kavod asks itself, the dam goes out, the dam goes back in. The only way to solve the problem with the Kavod is to broil it. Mm-hmm. And if you broil it intact, the whole thing together, then it has too much dam, the broiling is not going to work. You have to cut it, Shesavir. Shesavir means a tselem, a crisscross. We call a cross a Shesavir. Shesavir is when you make material, when you make cloth, so you have a warp and a woof. So that's called Shesavir. Yeah. So he says what you have to do, you see, when we have livers, when we broil livers, what do we get? Let's say a chicken liver or a behemoth liver. It's already cut. It's detached from this part, detached from that. So by us, we don't have to keep on cutting the livers further. He broiled the liver the way it is. It already had koresh esvier because they cut it, they separated from the other parts of the animal. So the Gemara says you have to cut a crisscross in the kaved and chitucha letachas and turn it upside down. It means the cut should be on the bottom. If you're going to have a crisscross and then you're going to be broiling it with the cut on top, so it's like cooking the dam in a container. The bottom of the kaveh, the bottom of the liver is like a bowl, and you made a crisscross, but it's full of dam over there. So he says you have to make a crisscross, turn it upside down, so whatever dam will come out will go down, drip down on the floor, on the bottom, and you have to dafka broil it. And the cut part should be on the bottom, and that's how you remove all of the dam. And after you do that, whatever dam remains behind is only dam shebishla anyway, and therefore we have a right to declare that it's moel abosim. It's the same applies to dam shemolchoi. Dam shemolchoi is also only midrabbanim, because maliach kereser dam shebishla is derabbanim, dam shemolchoi is derabbanim. So then the Gemara adds on v'hani mili kavda. The only time you have a problem and you have to do this solution, you have to cut it crisscross and broil it and hold it upside down, that's only by the liver because it's full of blood. Aval tachlo, the tchol is the spleen. The spleen does not have a special problem of dam. It has the same as any other piece of flesh, just like any other flesh. Yeah. Lev has a bigger problem because lev doesn't only have blood from the capillaries. The lev is solid, full of blood. This halacha, the dam evarim shelo pirish, is mutter. It's only dam evarim. Dam evarim means the blood in the capillaries, but the blood in a vein, that's dam. Even if it's lo pirish, that's mamish dam. Or the dam shebelev is mamish dam. Even lo pirish, you can't eat a raw heart the way it is because it's full of dam. The kaved you can't eat raw because the kaved only has dam evarim. Only has blood from capillaries. So that'll be dam evarim shelo pirish. It will be mutter. But the lev you can't eat the way it is. You have to broil it and remove all the dam. Lev is mochamer than the kaved. So the Gemara says this whole requirement that you have to dafke broil the liver and hold the crisscross on the bottom so all the dam will drip down, that's only by liver aval tachlo, but a spleen shum de bialmahu, it's very fatty but it doesn't have an added problem of dam. It's the same issue of dam as any other piece of flesh. How do you know? Ki hod de Shmuel had the following practice. Avdele tafshila de tachle biyama David milsa. They used to have a practice in the days of the Gemara, bloodletting. So they felt that it's healthy to take blood every so often. We have blood transfusion, it's a different thing. In the days of Gemara, they didn't do blood transfusion. They felt that it's healthy to remove if you have too much dam. So when you lost dam, so Shmuel's practice used to be, he would always eat the spleen, broiled spleen, on the day on which he had taken blood. Okay. So what's halacha lemaisa? How are you supposed to do the liver? Let's say you want to broil liver and you want to broil other flesh as well. So you have to broil everything separate, or can you do one piece on the other? If you're broiling two pieces of flesh, assaulting many pieces of flesh, you can pile them all up on top of each other. What if you're broiling liver with flesh and the flesh did not have the dam removed? So which would we recommend? Would you recommend you put the liver on top or the flesh on top? What's a din lechatchila? What's a din b'dieved?
Liver, yes, you cook separate. Not with the meat. That's
what you're supposed to do.
That's
what it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're supposed to do the liver separate. You shouldn't do it on the same broiler. It says you have to have three broilers. You have to have a separate broiler for the liver, a separate broiler for the flesh that was not salted, and if you have flesh that was salted and you want to broil it, you have to have a third broiler for that. So that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. Bottom line, that's halacha lemaisa. Let's see, we didn't get to the bottom line yet. We're on the top line here. So the Gemara says, now itmar, how do you deal if you want to broil a lot of flesh at the same time, and you want to broil liver with other flesh that was not salted? You want to broil them together. Which one should you put on top? So lechatchila says in Shulchan Aruch like that. You should have each one in a separate location. So the Gemara says, itmar kavda ilavi bisra shori. If you put the liver on top of the flesh, that's permissible. Why? Because dama, the dam will be mishrik sharik. The dam will roll down. I don't have to be afraid that there's a ribui dam and the dam is going to be nivel in the flesh. we would say it's mutter. But kachle ilavi bisra, but if you have the udder, the chal was the udder where there's a lot of milk. The milk is only the rabbanim because it's dam shchut, it's cholab shchuta. Min atorah, the milk is only milchig if you milk the cow while it was alive. If you didn't remove the milk from the udders until after the animal was geshapten, so then cholab shchuta is only the rabbanim. That was the Mishnah we had. So the Gemara says, if you want to do chal, kachle ilavi bisra, you want to broil the udder and broil flesh at the same time, you put the udder on top, that's usr. That you're not allowed to do. Minatari you can do, there's no problem. The Rabbanan. Chol of Shchuta is usr Rabbanan. So that you're not allowed to do, to leave the udder on top of flesh. My timer. Because Chol of Mishrach Sruchi, the dam is going to roll down, Mishrach Shari. So if you put the liver on top of the flesh, dam is going to roll down. But the milk is fatty, so the milk is Mishrach Sruch is going to stay. It's going to get stuck onto the flesh on the bottom, and it turns out that you're cooking basa b'cholav. You're not allowed to eat the basa b'cholav. Rav Dimi Menadoa Masni Yipcha. His tradition was punkt faker. That what kachle lavi bisra shari. If you want to do the udder on together with flesh, you can leave the udder on top. No problem. Why? My taima cholav shkuta the rabbanon. So they were mekel. Menatara it's parave. It's not really milchik. The milk in the udder is only milchik with the rabbanon. So therefore, we're mekel if you do the chal, the udder on top of flesh. It's okay. Abekabdi lavi bisra. But if you want to broil flesh with liver, and you're going to do the liver on top, that you're not allowed to do also. Why? Because dam is a din deraisa, so you have to be more machmer. So you shouldn't have the covet on top. To have two pieces of flesh on top of each other is fine. To have liver on top of liver is fine. But to have the liver on top of the flesh, that you shouldn't do, because we should be more machmer by dam, because dam is their ice. Tosis points out, what do you mean dam is their ice? Yeah, we're talking about dam shebishloi. So Tosis says, yeah, but before it became a vushal. In principle, dam is their ice. Cholav, basa b'cholav is also their ice. B'cholav shchut to begin with is only the rabbanim. But dam to begin with is their ice. We made it into the rabbanim by cooking it. So that's why the second version was, you should be more machmen by the liver than by the udder.
What happens to the milk when it leaves the udder to make a milk as opposed to it stays in the udder?
The chumah, yeah.
The udder leaves, becomes milchig. You say that if it stays within the udder, what reaction outside the rabbanim causes it to become milchig? Milk or it's not?
Not a reaction. No, min haTorah, it's only milk is only milchig if it was removed from the udder while the animal was alive. If you didn't milk the cow while it was alive, so the whole chumah is only with the rabbanon. So they were only machmir the rabbanon. If you remove the milk from the udder, you leave the milk in the udder. You never removed it. So then they never made the chumrah with the rabbanon.
So the key is removed when it's alive. But that's
yeah, thing. Yeah. Did it? Was it removed from the udder while the animal was alive or not? So if it wasn't removed till after the shechita, then the whole milchik status of the milk is only the rabbanon. So there are two versions. Which should we be machmir for more? How do we pass on Allah al-Maisa? So you just heard Allah al-Maisa, you should have three different broilers. That's what it says. But that's the bottom line. But we didn't get to the bottom line. Darash Mereimar, so Mereimar gave a public talk to the Balabatim, and he said, bottom line, Allah al-Maisa, what's the din hilchasa? Ben kavda, ben kachla, the same din. Don't tell me aswar al-Khalik that the milk and the udder is the rabbanon, the dam is the raisa, the dam is going to roll down, and the milk is going to get stuck. It's irrelevant. The din is the same. Hilchas halacha lemaisa, what's the din? Ben kavda ben kachla, whether you're dealing with flesh and liver, or you're dealing with regular flesh and udder, taisei bisra shari ilavi bisra, if you put the udder on the bottom, you have the regular flesh on top dripping down meat, and then the bottom one is the udder with the milk, or the bottom one is the kavei, the liver with the riboy hadam, so that's mutar lechatchila to do it like that. If you have the questionable thing on the bottom, but if you're going to have it the reverse, ilavi bisra, if you're going to have the udder or the liver on top of the flesh, it'll be mutter, but lechatchila loy. Lechatchila you shouldn't do it. So what should you do lechatchila? So what he said, you have to have a separate broiler for the liver, and separate broiler for the flesh that is not salted, and a third separate broiler for the flesh that is salted.
And then I worry about Marusayim. Maybe Rabban will worry about Marusayim. Why they made the milk out of the udder after it died? You talk about Marusayim. People think that it's...
Looks like regular milk. Okay, looks like regular milk. They didn't have what? So the Gemara tells a story. Rav Ashi was from the last Amoraim. Ravina Rav Ashi were the ones who edited the Talmud Bavli. So Rav Ashi once visited his in-laws. Rav Ashi ikla de bay Rami Baraba Chamur. He visited his father-in-law. Chazie lebrei de Rami Baraba. He saw his brother-in-law, the son of his father-in-law, his wife's brother, he saw, was a wise guy. The Koshopid, he used a broiler, a shpud. The Koshopid kavda ilavi bisra. A wise guy. He's following the original opinion. Dorash Merema, we just got to the bottom line that Hilchasov, both by liver and by udder, you have to have it on the bottom. If you're doing broiling, you have to have the liver on the bottom. So he sees his brother-in-law is a wise guy. He's doing the liver on top of the flesh, which we paskin is only good b'dievid. There were two versions before. Maybe it's good l'chatchila, but we don't paskin like those versions. We paskin that it's only muta b'dievid. So he made a comment. He made it a negative comment about his brother-in-law. Omar, kama yohir hai midirabanan. Look how arrogant this young yeshiva bacher is. That he's doing l'chatchila, where we're only makel b'dievid. Eim adam rabanan b'dievid. The Chachamim said, but the evidence kosher if you left the liver on top of the flesh over l'chatchila meyomer. So that's not right. You should not have the liver on top of the flesh if you're broiling, because the liver has ribuy dam. You should put it on the bottom. Okay. Then the Gemara says, yeah, they were roasting it. Yeah, they were broiling. They were broiling it. So instead of having, yeah, so instead of having the, they were roasting in such a way that the dam is going to drip on the floor. Yeah. So the brother-in-law put the liver on top of the flesh, which we said is only muta b'dieved, l'chatchila is not mut. So he considered a chutzpah. Rav Ashi considered a chutzpah that the young yeshiva bacher thought that he's such a knacker, he's doing l'chatchila. Yeah, like today. So then the Gemara says they had a practice. They used to consider schmaltz very healthy. When I was a little boy, they used to consider schmaltz very healthy. So the Gemara says they would broil flesh that was never salted, and the dam would drip down. But they had a container on the bottom that's called beidugi. Rashi says it's some Aramaic word, Arabic, Aramaic, whatever. Rashi says aloshan arami, Aramaic word. They had a container on the bottom that would collect the schmaltz that fell down, and it would contain all of the dam. So the dam and the schmaltz are cooked together. So they're not allowed to eat the schmaltz. So somehow they had the right to assume that all the dam is going to fall to the bottom. That's going all the in this container on the bottom. The red part is going to be on the bottom, and the upper part is not going to be reddish. Upper part is going to be the schmaltz. All the schmaltz floated to the top, and all the dam went to the bottom. And even though as the schmaltz was falling down, the schmaltz was cooked with the dam, and dam shebishla is at least awesome with the rabbanon, dam shebishla, either awesome with the Torah, awesome with the rabbanon, so the dam was treif, and it made the schmaltz treif, but then when it sits on the bottom in the pan long enough, it's going to be separated. So we assume that chemically, all of the dam will fall to the bottom, and all of the schmaltz is going to be floating on top, and if you have kosher food that became treif because a treif of blia went in, and then you use some chemical process to remove every speck of the treif of blia that went in, so it becomes kosher. If you cook basa b'cholov together, it becomes basa b'cholov. That's a machlekes in Yerideya. What if you use some chemical procedure and you remove every particle of milk from the flesh? So the shach has a machlekes, shach holds that it remains osir. Once you create basa b'cholov, so even if you remove the cholov from the basa, it remains osir. But here we're not talking about basal chol, we're talking about shari surim. Dam was nivla into flesh. At the time that it has the dam, you're not allowed to eat the schmaltz. But then when it sits long enough, so the whole mara admumis, the whole red color is only going to be on the bottom of the pan. The upper part is going to be the schmaltz floating on top. And they assumed that that's good enough. All of the dam was removed and the schmaltz becomes mutter. Rashi says that they still used to do it by avozim. Rashi writes on the top, on the second line from the top, Kedech Shana Osim La'avazim. They used to, what are avazim? Ducks?
Geese.
So they used to do it by geese in the days of Rashi, that they would collect the schmaltz and assume that all the dam goes to the bottom. So then, this is Epshel Afrido. If you remove, right, if you remove everything, then the Gemara has on Kuf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, the bottom Tosfos is commenting, the bottom Tosfos says, Trei Gelei de Milcha. And then the Gemara has it also, the bottom line, Trei Gelei de Milcha. So in the days of the Gemara, they had some kind of salt, corresponds roughly to the salt that we use to kasher flesh, but kosher salt, coarse salt. So they used to have such salt that when they had the schmaltz that was cooked together with the dam, they could put salt on it, and the salt would remove every single speck of dam from the schmaltz, and the schmaltz would be epshel afrido, would be mutter. That would be mutter. So bismanazem, we're not sure exactly what kind of salt they use, so that's why we don't. We assume we can't do that trick. We assume we can't replicate that trick. But you see from the Gemara that Epshel Afrido is muta by Shari Surim, by Basa, Bechalab, Epshel Afrido is Amachlekes, the Shach and the other Achrenim. But by Shari Surim, it's...
When does the Chalab is Asa Barnar? When does it come into this situation?
When it's asa b'anor, then it's asa. But let's say I remove all of the challah from the basa, so maybe it becomes ois basa b'challah. So the shach holds that not. The shach holds even if they remove all of the challah from the basa, efshal afrida, efshal esochta, we had a discussion in the Gemara. I cooked milk and flesh, and you can taste the flavor of the milk and the flesh. But then I pour in so much liquid that now the shishim against the milk, now I can no longer taste the milky flavor in the flesh, but I know the milk is still there. That's called Epshel Esochto. I removed so much chalav that it's no longer nice and tam in the basar. So that was a machlekes satanayim, and we assume that it's asa. But here we're talking a different shayla, Epshel Hafrido. I removed totally. I have a chemical procedure whereby I remove every speck of milk. So that's a machlekes, the shach and others in Yeridei. So what does the Gemara say on the third line? On the top of Kuf Yud Aleph and Beis, on the third line. The Iika Beidugi, and if you have a container on the bottom, and it's gonna accumulate both the dam and the schmaltz, and you're gonna wanna wait till the dam settles to the bottom, and only the bottom's gonna have the red color. And the top is gonna be the schmaltz, not gonna have any mare admumis in it, and you're gonna eat it. So then the Gemara says, Bisre Labi Kavda, Namios, even if you're going to have the flesh on top of the liver, also teignish. So the why? But you always do it in regular flesh. When you have a beidugi, you do it. You let the dam go to the bottom and the container on the bottom, and you assume the schmaltz floats to the top. So why does it make it worse all of a sudden if you have bisra ilavi kavda? Why is it a problem there? Freg the gemara, maishna midama de bisra. What's the difference? The dam that comes from the kaveh poses a bigger problem than the dam that comes from the bus. The dam that comes from the bus, we assume all the dam goes to the bottom, and the schmaltz floats to the top. So the same thing should be the dam that comes from the kaveh as well. And the Gemara, it's not the same. Biologically, physically, it's not the same. Dam, but the bisra shochin, the dam from the flesh is going to fall to the bottom. It's going to sink to the bottom, and the stuff that's floating on top is going to be only the schmaltz minus all of the dam. Oh, but dam of the kavda, coffee. But the dam from the liver is a different kind of dam. The blood from the liver, the Gemara Sim is going to float to the top, and you will not succeed in removing all of the dam from the schmaltz on top. If you're going to collect all the schmaltz on top, it's going to have some of the dam from the liver. The Gemara says dam from the liver is a bigger problem than the dam from the regular flesh. Okay. What does the Gemara say? Vaita Amram Nachnam Ashmul. What's the din? Sakin Sheshochad Bo. I shecht an animal. The din is that, let's say I have a treifa knife. How's a knife treif? Let's say I cut chaza. Burning hot chaza I cut with the knife. So the knife is balea. It's burning hot. How hot does a chaza have to be that the knife should be balea? Has to be yatzoledes. If it's less than yatzoledes, so then it's called tzaynin. Doesn't make a difference whether it's ice cold or 32 degrees, 22 degrees, 50 degrees, 80 degrees, 100 degrees. If it's less than yatzoledes, that's called tzaynin alpidin. When it reaches the point of yatzoledes by is miloshin basal de bechilo miponecha, it says in Tanakh. I jump away from pachad from the Rabbanu Shalom. So if I stick my hand if I want to take a hot bath, and I know it's going to be hot, So I filled it up with hot water, so I'm expecting it to be hot. So when I put my hand in, my foot in, I'm not going to jump away. It could be the water is Yatza Levis, but that's, I'm prepared for it. So that's not going to happen. If I thought that it's cold, I expected it to be cold, and I'm surprised that it's hot, and my instinctive reaction is that I jump away, that's called Yad Soledes Boy. Yad Nichvez Boy means if I put my hand in and I take it out, I'm going to have a red mark on my hand. I just burnt off part of the skin. That's called Yad Nichvez. Kviya means a burn. Yad Soledes is not the same as Yad Nichvez. Yad Nichvez is much higher. Yad Soledes means if I put my hand in thinking that it's cold and I'm going to be surprised, I'm taken by surprise, my instinctive reaction will be to jump away. So that's called Yad Soledes.
Nowadays,
what degree temperature is Yad Soledes? The body temperature is 98, something like that. So if it's only 98, it's going to be 100, you can't even feel that it's a difference. The difference between 98 and 100 is insignificant. So how hot does it have to be that you're going to have Asal B'chiz Bunei who's going to jump away? So the Gemara has a machloikis in the first parak. Here the Gemara is assuming, the Gemara is taking a stand here. The Gemara has a shayla. I have a sakin shal shchita, and I shecht an animal, I shecht a cow, and then it turns out that the cow happens to have a disease that makes it a treifa. So the cow is a treifa. So the shayla is, did the knife become treif because it was balea from the neck of the animal? How hot is the beis hashchita? Beis hashchita is the neck. How hot? When you shecht the animal, the neck is hotter than when you're not shechting the animal, because apparently the blood gushes over there, it gets even hotter. So how hot is the neck? So the different animals have a different degree temperature when you shecht them. So it turns out, you look in the Shmir Shabbos Kalchasa, he quotes this in a long footnote. So he says they made experiments that different animals have different degree temperatures by the neck when you're shechting them. I think either the geese or the, not chickens, either the geese or the ducks, I forget which one, is the hottest of all. It's 113 degrees Fahrenheit. 113 degrees Fahrenheit. So the Gemara has a machlokes in the first parak. If you shecht with a kosher a knife, you shecht an animal, doesn't say which animal you're shechting, a kosher animal. So it could even be you're shechting a goose or a duck, the one that has the hottest. So the Gemara has a machlokes, do you have the right to assume based on shechita tzoinen, the neck is not hot enough to make a bliya into the knife because it's less than Yad Soledes, or should you assume the beis hashchita reseach? It's interesting, it's neither kli rishon nor kli sheni. Kli rishon means that it's hot al gabi ho'esh. It's told as a'esh. And kli sheni means I poured it from the first container into the second. The neck is neither kli rishon nor kli sheni. There is no a'esh over here, just naturally hot. And nonetheless, the Gemara says, if it's naturally hot, if it would be Yad Soledes, it would make a bliya that would make the knife treif. So the Gemara has a machlokes in the first parak. Do you have the right to assume the beis hashchita is tzoinen and it doesn't make the knife treif, or should you assume beis hashchita resech does make the knife treif? So here the Gemara is assuming. So the Gemara in the first parak paskin is beis hashchita tzoinen. Beis hashchita tzoinen. So the Shmir Shabbos Kochasa quotes that the hottest the neck ever is when you shecht an animal is, I forgot, either by geese or by ducks, it's 113. And the Gemara felt that was borderline, that was a machloikis, and we paskin lahakel. But if it would be 114, then it would be Yad Soledes. That's a little bit humorous. 113 is not Yad Soledes, and 114 is the cutoff point. So Rav Soloveitchik used to say, he thinks that it's somewhere between 140 and 160. He thinks below 140, it can't be Yad Soledes, and 160 for sure, it's already Yad Soledes. The Shmir Shabbos Kachosid quotes this Chumra, that the hottest that the neck ever is under 13, and the Gemara held that was questionable. The Maskana was that that's Tzoinen, but once you have 114 degrees, that already is past the border. That's already Yad Soledes. That's a Chumra. Here in America, all the Kashrus organizations assume that Yad Soledes is 120, and they assume that's a Chumra. It's really more than 120. There's certain, let's say, chocolates. When they cook chocolates, they never make it too much higher than 120, or it's going to burn. 121, 122. They don't make 130 or the chocolate is going to burn. So that's the question. Let's say you had the milchik chocolate. Does the container really become milchik? If it's 120, 121, that's Rav Soloveitchik held that anything less than 140 is no shayla. So we're machma 120, but it's borderline. It's questionable. It's not about doy said it's Yad Soledes. Yad Soledes is also relevant. We mentioned the other day for stam yena. If you have yayin, if you have kosher wine manufactured by Jewish people and a non-Jew handles it, so there's a chumra midirabbanon. If the wine is manufactured, the wine is processed by non-Jews, then you're not allowed to drink the wine, mishum b'naseihim. Because we're afraid that the Jew may enjoy the wine so much, he may want to marry the non-Jew's daughter in order to have Abi Kekestel have a lifetime supply of this delicious wine that he enjoys. So they prohibited, just like they prohibited bishalakam, any kosher food cooked by the non-Jew, or pasakam, any bread that was cooked by my next door, baked by my next door neighbor, non-Jew, afraid is going to lead to chasnus. So they're afraid that yayin, stam yayinim, is also going to lead to chasnus. So mitam chasnus, because it may lead to intermarriage, that would have only prohibited bishtiya. Just like pasakam is only asav achila, and bishalakam is only asav achila, it's mutabano. But because by yayin, there's an added concern, a far-fetched chashash, maybe the Nochri had in mind to be menasech l'avodah zarah, so they threw on an isa hanor as well. Because if it's really tekruvas avodah zarah, then it would be asam hanor. So Tosfos explains, if they would only be concerned about the nisach hayayin, they would never make the gzeir at all. It's so far-fetched, the guy's going to menasech, the wine l'avodah zarah, is going to give it to me to drink. He won't let me drink it, it's holy wine. He's going to designate it only for the avodah zarah purposes. So because of the chashash nisach, they would never have made a gzera in the first place. But once they were making the gzera because of chasnos, the ik gzera was because of the concern of intermarriage. And then, once they made the gzera, so they threw in an added kenech that it should be also banot. But what if the wine is manufactured by a Jew? So then there's no chashash of chasnos. If I'm gonna marry someone, I'm gonna marry Mr. Kedem's daughter. I'm not gonna marry the goy's daughter. So if the goyish waiter is pouring the kosher wine, so there the whole chashash only is mishum nisuch. So then the Gemara says, what if the yayin is mavushal already, and we can't use yayin mavushal in the Beis Hamikdash on the Mizbeach? So mistama, we assume the non-Jews probably will also not use yayin mavushal for avodah zarah purposes. If they do use yayin, if they actually take yayin mavushal and they pour it l'avodah zarah, if they take a cup of coffee, a cup of water, and they pour it l'avodah zarah, tekruvis is tekruvis. But you don't have to be concerned. Anything other than wine, you don't have to be concerned. And for yayin mavushal, you don't have to be concerned about the far-fetched possibility. If you actually know he was menasachit, it'll be asa ben atara. Real tekruvis is asa. But if you don't know one way or the other, you have the right to assume he probably was not menasachit if the yayin is yayin mavushal. So what is it considered yayin mavushal? So he mentioned that the Tzelem Arav originally gave the hashgacha on kedem wine was a Tam Chacham. He was of the opinion that it's only considered Yai Mavushal if they cooked it till the point of evaporation. They cooked it till 2:12 and it started to be mismined. It started to evaporate and there's less wine. And Rav Moshe Feinstein, that was based on the Lashon of the Shulchan Aruch. You cooked it till it's mismined. And Rav Moshe Feinstein said, you shouldn't take the Lashon in the Shulchan Aruch literally. It's not accurate. The Shulchan Aruch never meant it, because if you look in the Rishonim, the whole source of the whole discussion is an Or Zeruah. The Or Zeruah raised the Vilna Gaon, quotes it on the bottom of the page in the Bi'ur Agra. So the Or Zeruah writes a suffix, when is it called Yayin Mavushal? Do you have to have heated? When is it called Yayin Mavushal that you don't have to be concerned about the far-fetched possibility that the Nochri was Menasech and then he's going to let me drink it? So the Or Zeruah is Mesupik. What if it was only Toshrim? What if they heated up the wine till it became lukewarm? And that's all. Should you say Hefsheru Zel Bishula? If it's cooked a little bit lukewarm, it's already no good for the Mizbech, and already there's no chashash that the Nochri is going to menasach it? Or should you insist, Dafke, that it has to be Mavushal till the point of Yatzaledis? So because of the suffix, so the Azura says we should go to Chumre, it should only be considered Yai Mavushal if you really cooked it till the point of Yatzaledis. But to say you have to cook it till it's 2:12, till it starts to evaporate, that was never part of the suffix of the Azura, that he never dreamt such a Chumre. So that's why Moshe Feinstein says, he claims that those who insist, Tzelem Arav, who insisted on some of the Kedem bottles, it says Mavushal, some it says Ain't a Mavushal. So Moshe said it's not correct. All of the Kedem wines are pasteurized, and whatever is pasteurized, for sure is already Yai Mavushal. It's for sure it's Yatzaledis. The only shaila was, how much is Yatzaledis? So the Shmir Shavs Kalchasa quotes the Chumre, he's Machmer and everything. He's Machmer 2:14. He says it's 2:13. What is it? 1:13. Says 1:13 is borderline that we're making. But 1:14, he says that's Yatzaledis. And here, no one's Machmer for that. We're Machmer for 1:20. Rav Soloveitchik thought anything below 140, he didn't think that that's Yatzaledis. It's between 140 and 160. Rav Moshe Feinstein has three different tshuvas where he talks about exactly this shaila. How much to what degree temperature do you have to pasteurize the wine to be considered yai melushel? When is it for sure yad saleres? So he gives three different shuvas. He gives three different numbers. One he says, I think 175. One he says 180. One he says 185. 185. The pashtus is that's yad dichfus already. You just put your pinky in for a second, you take it out. The skin will be burnt off already. 185 degrees. That's mamash yad nifas. That's very difficult. So the benoik shabaylam, the machmer is somewhere around there. The 185. That's if the wine is processed by Jewish people, so there's no chasnus. Is only a problem if the wine is manufactured by non-Jews. If the wine is manufactured by Jews, but a goy is pouring it, then you only have the chashash of nisuch. You don't have the chashash of chasnus. I'm not going to marry his daughter because he poured the wine. I'll marry his daughter if he manufactured the wine. But if he only pours it, then there's only a chashash of nisuch. So if the yain is mevushal, then you don't have to be concerned about the nisuch. So that's how it's negeh lalach. Yeah. Yeah. The Gemara in the first perek raises that possibility. So Tosfos has one opinion that duchkin is sakin even if it's cold. Let's say I have hot cheese and I have a knife. The hot cheese is cold from the refrigerator. I take a knife and I cut cheese. So Tosfos has one opinion, duchkin is sakin makes treif even if it's not warm at all. And that's why he says the minig is that you have a separate challah knife, a separate, the Ramah writes, yeah. Minig is you have a separate bread knife. Why? If you're eating fleishig, so use the fleishig knife to cut the bread. If you're using milchig, so use the milchig knife. So we're machmer for that opinion in Tosfos in the first perek, that duchki de sakina causes a bliya even if everything is cold. So if you cut the bread with a fleishig knife that's clean, has no schmaltz, it's clean. So we're choshish lechatchila for that opinion, that duchki de sakina makes the bread fleishig, and whatever bread will be left over will be fleishig. You can't eat it with a milchig meal. And if you cut the knife with a clean milchig, if you cut the bread with a clean milchig knife, so the duch l'sakina will make the bread, remaining bread, milchig, and you can't eat it with a fleishig meal.
How much is duch for though? How hard is that?
If it's a very soft challah, there's no duchke, yeah, but mistama, the crust is hard. So if you cut, so that's one opinion in Tosfos, but we don't really hold it. That's a chumra l'chatchila to be choshish for that opinion. Every minig, that's Rav Soloveitchik pointed out from the Biuri HaGro in Shulchan Aruch and all Abrech HaKushon. Every minig has to be a kiyum of some shita or another. So the Vilna Gaon always explains, what is this minig v'choshish for this shita, v'choshish for that shita. So there is such a shita in Tosfos, we really don't pass like that. The duch kiris hakina alone. But this is correct. Duch kiris hakina with a little bit of heat that's less than yatzaletis, so maybe that does combine together. Duch kiris hakina with heat that's less than yatzaletis, maybe does make a bliya. So that's the machlekes in the first parak where the beis hashchita tzoinen, and even with the duchki the sakina doesn't pose a problem. Or beis hashchita reseach. So our gemara is going to talk. Yeah.
Why do we say that if somebody, a Jew, is not a shomer Shabbos, pours wine into
the room? I mean, the whole gzera doesn't make sense. Let's say the wine is manufactured by a non-observant Jew. So I'm allowed to marry his daughter? If she'll be a religious girl, I can marry his daughter. Or if he's going to pour the wine, he doesn't worship Baba Dazar. So that's a big machlokes. Let's say there's a Jew who is Mechal Shabbos Beferhesia, and we say Dina Ka'akum. Mechal Shabbos Beferhesia, Dina Ka'akum, that's on Daf Hei. So does that even mean Dina Ka'akum, that when he there's bishalakum, any food that he cooks he's not allowed to eat, but I'm allowed to marry his daughter? So that's a big machlokes in Achreinim, the Pischei Tshuva, on the beginning of the second Chelik Yeredeya, Semekuf Yud Beis, and Semekuf Yud Gimel, by the Bishalakum, and the Pasakum. So the Pischei Tshuva quotes a machlokes Achreinim about that. They say, it's a loy plug rabbanon, since Dina Ka'akum, so whatever Dinam applied to an Akum applied to him. What do you say? No, it has to go with Seichel. The Akum, you're not allowed to marry his daughter, so there's a Hashash Ben Hussein. The minig is lahakel on that. The minig is lahakel that there's no bishal akum and there's no pasakum. But if the Mechal Shabbos professor handles the wine is manufactured by religious Jews. But it's yain sheinu mevushel, so there is a chashash nisach. And the wine is poured by Mechal Shabbos, so the Mechal Shabbos touches it. So then it says in Shulchan Aruch, he does ask, even though the minig is lahakel, by pasakum and bishalakum, but the Shulchan Aruch says lahachmir by the maga akum. Maga akum does asam. So some there used to be a rabbi in America. He was a character. What was his name? Rav Chaim Hirshenson. He lived in Hoboken. He wrote a lot of svarim. He wrote svarim Malki Bakodesh. He was brought up in Yerushalayim, and he was close to Rav Kook and Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, but he was a renegade. So he moved to America, and he gave a lot of lenient opinions on a lot of different things. He wrote a lot of svarim. So a lot of what he writes in his Malki Bakodesh has quite a few volumes. A lot of it is about was vet zainas mevet machna yidish medina. Can you have a woman as the Rosh HaMemshalah? He wrote shuvas about this. And he has also, he told his balabatim that they don't have to worry about the Mechal Shabbos handling the wine. Because the whole chashash only, he may be menasachet. But he's not menasach, he doesn't worship Baba Dizar. So Rav Tzvi Pesach Franks knew him from Eretz Yisrael. He used to live in Yerushalayim. So he sent him a very nasty letter that's included in the Tshuva's Har Tzvi. But they didn't want to write who the letter was written to. So my guess is that's why they left out all the names from all the letters, because they didn't want to write. But on the last page in the Har Tzvi, they tell you which letters were written to whom. So it's very simple. You want to find out whom this letter was? So you look in the back. It was sent to Hirshenson. It's obvious. So he writes there, you're dead wrong. You're 100% wrong. It says in the Shulchan Aruch, not like you. There are poskim, a whole like you, but we don't poskim like that. And darkman shel tamid hachachamim is when a talmid chacham makes a mistake. So he gets up in public and he apologizes, and he should tell the balabatim. Dvarim shamayte b'fnechem tov sein b'yod. You have to be intellectually honest, and you have to tell the balabatim you made a mistake. I don't think he backed that. He was an unusual thinker. People now are putting a lot of money in to reprint all of his svarim because they like all of his wild ideas. A lot of people with a lot of money like to preserve all these wild ideas. So he has that taina. It's a good taina. By the pasakam and the bishalakam, the minig is lahakel. Rav Nezer has a tshuva. He thinks he should be machmir on Mechal Shabbos, perhaps for Asya. He didn't even be machmir on the pasakam and the bishalakam. And he has a Chidush Aran in the first Perek in Chulin, which he thinks says like that. Once he's Dina Kakam, he has all the Dinam of an Akam, even though the Seichel doesn't apply. Take for example, there's a Din. Shlomo HaMelech made a Takana. We learned this when we learned Erevin. So the Gemara says, in the beginning of the second Perek in Erevin, Shlomo HaMelech made a Takana that if you have a lot of people live in an apartment building, all the Shomer Shabbos live in the apartment building. So Min HaTorah, the whole building is one big Rishus HaYochid. Shlomo HaMelech made a takana that since each family lives in its own apartment and they all share the hallway together, the common hallway, so you need an Erev Echatzeres. That's takana Shlomo HaMelech. So the Gemara says, and what if there are 10 tenants on the floor and 5 are Jewish and 5 are Nochrim? So you have to rent for the Nochrim. The Nochrim can't become, it's not going to help if the non-Jews are going to become Shutfim in the backs of matzahs. They help nish when they're ganze meise. They're allowed to carry with or without the Erev Echatzeres. So it doesn't mean anything to the non-Jew. So if they're going to participate in the Bax Matz, it doesn't help. So you have to rent for the Goyim, and you have to have an Erev Echatzeres for the 5 Jewish families. And what if there are 10 families, 9 are non-Jews, and only 1 is Jewish? So then do you have to rent from all of the 9 people that they shouldn't aser? So the Mishnah quotes Rav Blazer ben Azariah, you don't have to rent from the non-Jews, because Meikar Adin Diras Akam is Kediras Behemah. Diras Akam really should not serve at all. It's only Agzera Mederabanan that they didn't want the Jews to live too close to the Nochrim. Shelo Yilmad B'Maisav, we shouldn't pick up from the style of living of the Nochrim. They wanted the Jews to live in a separate neighborhood. They were not happy about integrated neighborhoods, Yisraelim and Nochrim living together. So they made a din, when you make an Erev, you have to rent from the Goy, and it's not going to be so easy explaining to the Goy why you want to rent. So this will encourage the Jew ultimately to move out of the neighborhood, and he won't stay there, and that's what we want. The Jew should move, they shouldn't live together with the Nochrim. So the Gemara says, so they only made the Gzer, at least there are 2 Jewish families living on the floor, and all the rest are Nochrim. Then they made a Gzer, the Rabbani, you have to rent for the Nochrim. But if he's the only Jewish family, the Gemara says, that's a Milsa de lo Shchicha. Because the Nochrim Achashurim Ashvichas Domim. That's how he says. And a Jew is not afraid to live there among all the Nochrim. They're going to kill him. So, Milsa Lashchicha, they never made a Gzera Derabbanan. So the shaila is, what if you have like this, you have one floor, there are 10 families, one is a Shem Shabbos, 5 are Jews on Mechal Shabbos Dina Kanakum, and the other 4 are Nochrim. So they say Mechal Shabbos Beferhesi Dina Ka'akum, so you have 9 Akums, you have 9 Akums, and there's only one Jew. So Rabbi Lozman Azari says, if he's the only Jew, so it's a Milsa Dola Shticha that goes by Abba. And you say, what kind of Milsa Dola Shticha? The Nochrim Achashura Mashvicha Zamim, Mechal Shabbos Beferhesi, it's not choshen on shvichas damim. So that's not a milsa de lo shchicha. So we pask in the Shulchan Aruch that even though the whole reason for the din doesn't apply, the din is still a din. It's a loy plug rabbanon. A mechal Shabbos beferesi dina ka'akum. Even though the whole logic behind the din doesn't apply, that's the halacha dina ka'akum. So the Ran, the Chiddush Ran in the first perek in Chulin, also points us up and again to another din that the halacha says. That's the halacha, even though the reason doesn't apply. So the Avnei Nezer thinks, based on that Chiddush Aran, we ought to paskin like those who say that the Bishul Akum is Osir and the Pasakum is Osir, even by, if it's cooked by the Mechal Shabbos, even though you're allowed to marry his daughter. There's no problem, Abchaz, you're allowed to marry his daughter if you like her, if she's religious and you want to marry her. There's nothing to hate. But so the Avnei Nezer holds we should be machmer on that. But the minute clearly is Lahakim. All the pasuk the meaning is lahakol that the pasakam and the bishalakam doesn't apply, but on the maga biyayin that the Shulchan Aruch says it does apply. The mechal Shabbos befresi dina kakam asas the yayin b'magoy. That's
what,
in the Shulchan Aruch.
What does maga mean here? You're holding the bottle.
No, holding the bottle. If the bottle is closed, there's no problem. Even if the bottle is open, also no problem unless he sticks his fingers in.
At the moment.
Yeah, if he doesn't stick, unless he's carrying a big barrel. And he's holding a barrel like this on his shoulders, and the fingers are sticking in. So that's magak. But if he sees not, let's say the guy carries the thing from one place to the other, that doesn't ask. If he pours, so that's kocho. So kocho is also agzera atu maga. Kocho is agzera atu maga. And then once the guy pours, it's kocho. So the wine that comes out is also matam kocho. So then there's a machlokes. What about the wine that remained inside? That there was no kocho. If a guy carries an open bottle like this, there's no kocho. But when he pours it out, whatever pulls out is also mitam kocho. So what's connected inside, are they notzik? So that's the machlokes in the Gemara, where they say notzik chibur to aser what's inside. So we are machmer on that. That's the machlokes in the Gemara, machlokes Rashi and Tosfos. So we're machmer on that. The notzik chibur, even though kocho is only also mitam gzeira. Kocho is only also, if a Jew would be pouring wine, a Shem Shabbos pouring wine, and a nochri touches the wine over here, okay, so that's a notz chibur from maga akum, but if the guy is pouring the wine, so it's a notz chibur from kocho. So kocho itself is only a chumra. He's saying notz chibur. So we machmer on that notz chibur even on top of a kocho. That's a shulchan. Yeah. Lemay said today we're more makel on the stam yena because the nochrim are not bikim b'nisur. They don't. The regular nochrim. Most of the standard nochrim don't pour wine. Wine lava is our. The boys in the dormitory many years ago, around 25 years ago, they said in the dormitory in Yeshiva, they could look out the window every morning and look into one of the apartments on Laurel Hill Terrace. There was someone who used to pour wine on a mizbech in his apartment every single morning. So the people do exist. There's still Menasseh Yayin in Washington Heights, out of Yom Hazeh, on the east side also. When we used to go shopping for shoes for our little children, we had little babies. So they used to their storefronts there where they're pouring wine. They're doing real Avodah Zarah. They're doing Nisach Hayayin for Avodah Zarah there. So Nisach Hayayin does exist, but the regular Nochri doesn't know what it's all about. The regular Nochri in the street is not Baki the Nisach Hayayin. So we paskin that Mag Akum is Manazeh really does Nasa Bahano. We're Machmir, but if it's a Hefsid Meruba, then we revert back to the Ikar Adin. We're Machmir that Mag Akum Asas Bahano. Maybe he was Manasseh. But Mikra Adin, if there's really Hefsid Meruba, we go back to the Ikar Aloch. Ikar Aloch is that Mag Akum is Manazeh doesn't Asa Bano. Only Asa is Bishtiya. Kocha Asas, yeah. Kocha Asas. When we had an Oifruf in the Yeshiva, when my son Yami got married, so we had the Oifruf in the Yeshiva on Shabbos, so someone from the neighborhood surprised us, so they brought a special bottle of wine that was Yain Sheinu Mevushal. They did us a favor, but they never told us it was Yain Sheinu Mevushal. So they had, usually the boys serve on Shabbos, but this was an Oifruf. So they had some Nochrim serving, so the Nochrim were pouring the wine. Then we found out in the middle of the meal that the wine was Einam Uvushal. And all the wine that they poured was koicha, so we had to spill everything out. We had to spill out the bottle also, because that was not zakah koicha. So we had to throw out all the wine. They spent a fortune of money to buy kosher wine that was Eina Mavusha. Once it's cut off, no longer not so. No, if the nochri is pouring, so there was a moment of time that it was connected. So whatever falls out is kocho, whatever is remaining behind at that time is not so. But if let's say a Jew is pouring and he stops, and then the nochri touches the wine that fell out after the Jew already stopped pouring, so then there's not, at the time of the magakum, there is no nutzak, so then it can't asa. So let's see the Gemara. Let's see. Oma Shmuel, the fifth line, sixth line from the top. Oma Nachna Mashmuel. Sakin Sheshochad Bo. What's the Shaila? So he's assuming here, Rashi says, Beis Hashchita Reseach. In the first parak, we paskin, you don't say Beis Hashchita Reseach. Ashoche, the Sakin Benimtsis Trefa, if you shecht an animal. And you discover later on that it's a treifa, so we assume that the knife is not balea from the treifas on the neck, because beis hashchita tzoinin. So this gemara is assuming not so. Shmuel was the first generation of Amoraim; he's entitled to his opinion. So he'll sakin sheshochad bo, and it turns out the animal is kosher, but there's dam. So the sakin is balea dam. So he says osa lachtach bo reiseach. You're not allowed to use that knife. You wash off the dam. But he's concerned the knife, the sakin shal shchita, was balei adam at the time of the shchita. So you're not allowed to use that, and I wash it off, but there's a blei adam in the knife. So you're not allowed to use that knife to cut anything hot later on, either hot fish or hot chicken or hot flesh, doesn't make a difference. If you're going to cut something hot, so the blei of the dam that was nivla into the knife is going to come out into the hot food now. What about if I'm going to cut tzoinen? I rinse off the knife and I want to cut some cold goat food. So is that a problem? So there's no blia. If everything is tzainin, the knife was balei adam at the time that I shechted, because the neck is full of dam. Okay? And based on Shechita Reseach, Shmuel holds that it's Yatzoletis. He holds that 113 is called Yatzoletis. We paskin that it's not. But I rinse it off. Now I want to cut a cold carrot or cold something. So what's the problem? So Amri lo boi hadoch, v'amri lo boi hadoch. Some insist you have to rinse off the carrot that you cut. Maybe there was a little dam on the side. The other one says, no, well, you have to rinse it off. You rinsed off the knife before you cut the carrot. So there's no blia, but the blia is not going to come. And there was a blia into the knife, because the beis hashchita, the neck is burning hot, he assumes. But there won't be any blia into the carrot that you cut later on, because the carrot is cooked. So some hold boi hadoch, some hold lo boi hadoch. But we paskin, the whole thing is not so. We paskin, the sakin sheshocha ba mikra din is, we hold beis hashchita as tzayna, even with the duchkir as sakin. We hold that it's not bolea. Hadocha is only if you're concerned about the bien. Maybe there's shamnunis treif dam on the surface, maybe there's shamnunis on the surface. You have to wash off the carrot or the tomato that you cut with the treif.
Temperature just to see what washes off.
Yeah, whatever bien will be washed off. Yeah. Amrav Yudah Mishmul, another din. Kairish Malach Babasar, when you salt flesh, so the dam is going to come out. So, what if you salted the flesh and there's a container on the bottom? You have to do Malicha in a Kli Sheinu Menukav. If you're going to do Malicha in a, you have to do Malicha in a Kli Menukav, in a Kli that has holes on the bottom. If you're going to do Malicha in a Kli Sheinu Menukav, that has none of him, so the dam is going to sit in its own dam. So the piece of flesh is going to be balea the dam back. What does it help? The dam goes out. The dam shapirus, then it's going to be chayzav and ivla. So you have to be maleach in a kli that's menukav. So let's say you are maleach, you salted the flesh on a bretel, whatever, and the dam drips down, and there's a container on the bottom. So the container on the bottom is going to get a blia of the treif dam, because it's all full of salt. The salt is a maleach kerasech, it's going to make a blia. So he says, if you have a plate that was balea flesh, that was balea dam because of the malicha, you're not allowed to put anything hot fleshik, hot milchik, hot parfait, you're not allowed to put any hot kosher food in that plate to eat, because if the food is going to be burning hot, it'll take the blia out from the plate, and the blia of the dam clearly entered the plate, Why? Because Maliach Keresech, Shmuel Etanmei, Shmuel goes Lishitos on this dinya. I'm a Shmuel, Maliach Areya Keresech, Bekovish Areya Kemevushal. If you salt something with a lot of heavy salt, if it's so salty that it's too salty to eat, Ein Anech Machmas Molchai, so salt, even though everything is cold, it's nowhere near 114 degrees, nowhere near 120, still Maliach, a lot of salt makes a Belia just like Keresech, just like if you broil two pieces of flesh. I have a kosher steak and a trefa steak, nevela steak, one on top of the other, one next to the other. So we say, reseach is going to cause a belia. If I broil them, tzli is going to cause a belia, one into the other. So maliach also is kireseach. And kovish areya kemevushal. Let's say I cook, I have a trefa piece of meat, and I have a lot of kosher meat, and it's all in the pot together. I don't have shishim in all of the kosher meat against the trefa piece of meat. So we assume I'm cooking it on top of the fire, so the trefa, the flavor from the trefa meat will be mispashit in the whole pot. And if you don't have shishim, everything in that pot will be asa. So just like mevushal, just like if you have bishul, it asas everything, doesn't just asa the piece of meat that happens to be touching it. Let's say I have piles of meat in the pot, and I find later on that the trefa piece of meat, I never stirred it, trefa piece of meat was touching the following 6-7 pieces of kosher meat. You don't just ask the pieces of meat that were touching it. You assume since there's the reitiv, so the reitiv is mevalbal atam all over the whole pot is going to be trade. So the din is that kovish is also. I had nothing hot. I had soaking in water. I had the trefa meat with the kosher food soaking in the water for 24 hours. So the din is that everything is also in the whole pot. If you don't have shishim against the trefas, no shishim. Everything is also kedei kula. But maliach only asks kedei klipa. If I salt, if I have, let's say, a kosher piece of meat and a trefa piece of meat, and I salted everything together, so the trefa piece of meat will succeed in making the top layer, the one layer of the kosher meat trefa. Maliach is kireseach the tzli. Just like in tzli, it only asks the edge. Let's say I'm broiling two steaks, one next to the other. One steak is kosher, one steak is nevela. So you don't say that the whole kosher steak becomes trefa. The first slice of kosher steak that's touching the trefa steak becomes trefa. But the rest doesn't become trefa. So maliach is also keresech ditzli. If you have two pieces of meat salting one on top of the other, so the trefa piece will make trefa the upper layer of the kosher meat. It'll only ask it kedei klipa, won't ask it kedei kulo. There's no rotev. There's no rotev. As opposed to kavish, areya kemevushal. Mevushal, it asks kedei kulo. So kavish also asks kedei kulo. So that's what the Gemara says, Shmuel l'shitasa, Shmuel l'taimei. The Shmuel is the one who said, Maliach kireseach, so therefore he said, if you salted meat, and the dam was sitting in a container, so the dam is full of salt, it's so salty, it's ein anecha machmas molchai, so Maliach kireseach makes the container trefa. That's what Shmuel said. How do you paskam when there's a machlokes Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan? So the Gemara says, Shmuel Rabbi Yechanan, Alachi Rabbi Yechanan. Rabbi Yechon, Alachi Rabbi Yechon. Mishlokish Rabbi Yechon, Alachi Rabbi Yechon. Usually we pass like Rabbi Yechon whenever he disagrees with one of his contemporaries. The one exception to the rule is Rabbi Shua ben Levi. That's what Tosfos always quotes, because in the end of Maseches Megillah, the Gemara has a machlokes, which has a higher level of Kedusha, Beis HaKnesses or Beis HaMedrash. There's a din of Malam HaKodesh v'lo Maridin. So is it permissible to convert a shul to make a yeshiva out of it? But the reverse, to make a yeshiva out of a shul is Maridin, or you say Faker? If the shul has a higher level of kedusha, so malam hakodesh, you're allowed to convert a yeshiva into a shul. So the Gemara says it's a machlek, it's Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shua ben Levi, and the Gemara just assumes that din is like Rabbi Shua ben Levi without any discussion. Shua ben Levi says that the Beis Medrash has the higher level, the yeshiva where they learn Torah has a higher level in the shul which is miyuchad for davening. So the Tosfos points out whenever Rabbi Yechanan disagrees with one of his contemporaries, if he disagrees with Reish Lakish, Rabbi Yechanan wins. If he disagrees with Rav, Rabbi Yechanan wins. Disagrees with Shmuel, Rabbi Yechanan wins. Disagrees with Rishon Malevi, we pass him like Rishon Malevi. So here they quote Shmuel holds Molech Kireseach, but Rabbi Yechanan disagrees. It seems like Rabbi Yechanan disagrees. So Rabbi Yechanan disagrees. We should pass him like Rabbi Yechanan. Because Shmuel and Rabbi Yechanan like Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara says it's. There was a mistaken transmission. Rabbi Yechanan lived in Eretz Yisrael, and they didn't know in Bavel what he said. So they didn't have any fax machines, they didn't have any telephones. So there would be Talmidim who would travel from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel to say, oh, so some of them were Medayik, and some of them were not Medayik. Some of them said backwards. So the Gemara says, Ki also Ravin, when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael to Bavel, Omar Rabbi Yechanan, he said over the name Rabbi Yechanan that he disagrees with Shmuel, Moliach Eino Kiraseach. If you salt two pieces of meat, kosher and treif, one on top of the other, it doesn't make treif. It does not, that blia doesn't make treif. And if you soak in water for 24 hours, it doesn't make treif. Amar Abaye, he doesn't know what he's talking about. Amar Abaye, hod the Ravin leisam. Ravin is obviously incorrect. Rabbi Yochanan never said that. Why? Because we heard the following story. Dahu Pinka, there was once a little klicheres, a little tray, a little dish. Dahu be Rabami. Rabami was a Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yami. This points out there were four people. There was Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yasi, who were good friends. They both lived in Eretz Yisrael. They both had smicha, Rabbi. And then there was Rabami and Rabasi, who were very close friends, who lived in Bavel. Neither had smicha, so they called Rabami and Rabasi. Rab means a reverend. Rabbi means a real rabbi had bona fide smicha. Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. So the two who lived in Eretz Yisrael, Rabbi Yami and Rabbi Yasi, were Talmidim of Rabbi Yochanan. So Abaye heard this story, everybody knew, and this story shows that Ravin is not reliable. Dahu Pinka, there was once a little China dish. David Be Rabbi Yami and Rabbami's home, the Moloch Be Bisra, by mistake they salted the flesh in that China dish. So the Tavre and Rabbi Yami smashed the tray because Hagola doesn't help on the Klicheres. The Pasuk says if you have a tray for Kli, you do Hagola. Umarak Vashuta Ba'amayim and Parshas Tzav. But if the tray for Kli is in the Klicheres, so it says Yishover. You have to smash it and throw it out in the garbage because Hagola doesn't help. So Abami smashed the China tray because it had a Bliya of dam in it. How is it balei dam? Because maliach. So the Gemara says, "Michtei Rabbami Talmud the Rabbi Yechanan Havi my time at Tavri. Why did he smash the china dish? Lamishum the sham leimid and the Rabbi Yechanan dam maliach harei kerseya." Obviously, Rabbi Yechanan, Ravin said over wrong. Ravin came to Bavel and he said the Rabbi Yechanan holds maliach is not kerseich, kavish is not kemulush. So obviously he said it over wrong because Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbami was a Talmud. Rabbi Yechanan smashed the plate.
What's the proof we just had before when the Talmud said different from the Rabbi?
Yeah, he was a character Talmud, no, but this one knew how to learn. Rabbami knew how to learn. So they assume that Talmidim usually follow a Talmud Sheigir Lohairo, Talmud who has knowledge enough to know that in every generation there are people who judge incorrectly. They think that the Higir Lohairo. In every generation you have people who make mistakes. We have Tshuva Svarim from the days of the Rishonim that are utterly ridiculous, that they say a stupid thing. Rashi quotes people that said ridiculous things before the days of Rashi. Rashi, especially Masechas Avodah Zarah, Rashi turned the whole Masechta upside down. The whole Masechta was totally different before Rashi. Other Gemaras like that also. They made major mistakes. So that's it. When a person is truly Higia Lohairo, then he's entitled to an opinion. Then he's entitled to express his own honest to goodness opinion, even if there's a disagreement with his Rabbi. But Noik Shabbailam, usually, the Talmud follows with all the traditions from his Rabbi. So that's how we paskin. You see, there's a big machlokes in Hilchos Shabbos. One of the malachas is mavashal. So what if I pour? So bishul is not only usher if I put something on top of the fire. I put raw meat on top of the fire and it gets cooked. That's mamish bishul. That's bishul derais. What if I have a pot of burning hot soup, burning hot cholent, let's say, and I take it off the fire, off of the element. And then I take a raw egg and I put it in, and I leave the raw egg there for 10 minutes. So the raw egg is going to get cooked. It's going to become a hard-boiled egg. So that's, we assume that's also bishul derais, even though it's not agavi ho'esh, but that's called toldos ha'esh. That's the kli rishon. This is the kli rishon that was agavi ho'esh. What if I take the whole cholent from the pot and I pour it into a kli sheni? And then I take the egg. Then I take a raw egg and I put it in. Also, the raw egg, if I leave it for 15 minutes, the raw egg is going to become hard-boiled. So that's the halacha, ain bishul b'klisheni. There's no din of bishul b'klisheni. So Tosfos says the kasha in Masechta Shabbos, why? If it got hard boiled, so why? What kind of halacha is that, ain bishul b'klisheni? So Tosfos says that since ain derech bishul b'kach, because the klisheni, I poured the contents of the soup pot or the cholent pot into the klisheni, so you have the tfanas are cold, so the tfanas will be makareros, the tfanas will cause the food to get cooler. So that's not derech bishul b'kach. To do bishul in a klishen is not derech bishul b'kach. Unless the food that I'm cooking is kalei habishul. Unless the Mishnah gives only an example of kulyas or ispinin. A dag maliach, once in a while you have a certain type of fish that doesn't need that much cooking. So then it is Dach Bishul B'Kach to cook it in a klisheni. So then you say Yesh Bishul B'Klisheni. But if it's not Mikalei HaBishul, then you say there's no Bishul B'Klisheni. So the Gemara says one might have thought that there's no Bishul B'Klisheni because Dach Bishul B'Kach. Maybe it's only din in Hilcha Shabbos because it's Kalach HaYad. And by Shabbos, if you do a malacha idei shino, it's a lack of malachas mashevis. So we had the Gemara in the first daf in Kol HaBasar. No, it's a din. Klisheni is not mevashel. It's a din of basar b'cholav also. Basar b'cholav, there's no din of kalach hayad. Kalach hayad is only a din in malachas mashevis and hilcha Shabbos. So the Gemara in the first daf in Kol HaBasar says if you do bishul basar b'cholav in a klisheni, it's only basar b'cholav the rabban. It won't be basar b'cholav the raisa because basar b'cholav the raisa is only bishul in a klivishin. So you see that this idea that klisheni ain't a mevashel is not unique. It's not miyuchad only to Hilcha Shabbos. It applies to bishul and kol haterakula, namely bishul basa b'chalav as well. So the shal is, what about making treif? Let's say I poured the whole cholent into a klisheni, and now there's no bishul b'klisheni. So I take a milchik spoon and I'm stirring the burning hot cholent. The burning hot cholent is yad soledis, burning hot. If I put it in my mouth, I'll burn my tongue. Yad nichmas, let's say. So what if I have a milchik spoon and I'm stirring? They say klisheni ain't a mevashel. That's why there's no bliya. So the milchik spoon doesn't make the flesh in the cholent treif, and the flesh doesn't become nivla into the milchik spoon. But they say no, klisheni is not mevashel. It's not only a din in Hilcha Shabbos, a din in bishul basar b'chol. But that's only a din in bishul. What does it have to do with bliyas? So Tosis claims, Tosis has Yerushalmi. Tosis claims that klisheni ain't a mevashel even applies to treifas. It doesn't make a bliya. If I use the milchik spoon, a treifah spoon, to stir the cholent, if the cholent is already in a klisheni, so the din is klisheni ain't a mevashel, klisheni ain't a mavliya mafla. And we pass in the Shulchan Aruch, mi'ikir adin like Tosfos. L'chatchila we machmir for the Ramban, but mi'ikir adin we pass in like Tosfos. So the Ramban disagrees. What are you talking about? The Gemara says, kovish kemevushel, malech kereseyach. Kovish. There's no bishul. It's just soaking for 24 hours. Maliach, there's no bishul. It's just salted two pieces of meat, one on top of the other. You see that a bliya makes treif, even if it's not derech bishul. So why does Tosfos insist that klisheni is less? Klisheni, who needs bishul? Maliach and kovish is a bliya without being bishul. That's Ramban's argument. So apparently Tosfos distinguishes, we don't really understand it. Tosfos says, yeah, there's a bliyas tzayin in the rasis, but if it's a bliyas chamin, if it's a bliya bechamin, then it only asks if it's derech bishul. Why? Halacha Moshe, we say it, we don't understand. That's what Tosfos holds. So we can understand why Kiyosu Rovin Am Rabbi Yechanan, when Rovin came, he claimed that according to Rabbi Yechanan, Maliach Einik Eresech and Kovish Einik Kemevushal. True, there is going to be a bliya. He's masking Maliach Eresech Kovish. There is going to be a bliya, but he holds that it's not derech bishul. Whatever the bliya is not derech bishul. So Rovin claims that the name Rabbi Yechanan doesn't make awesome. So we don't paskin like that. We paskin maliach and kovish do aser, but it's a question: why? Why is kovish and maliach do aser, and klisheni doesn't aser? Why? That's a chida. It's a problem. That's how we paskin in Shulchan Aruch. L'chatchila in Shulchan Aruch they say you should really be machmir for the Ramban to assume that klisheni does make treif. But if there's a real makom hefsed, then we revert back to the Ikar HaDin. The Ikar HaDin is like Tosfos, that klisheni, just like it's not mevashel, it doesn't make treif. Klishlishi, the same as klisheni. Whenever you're talking about a real din, klishlishi, the same as klisheni. Just in Hilcha Shabbos, there's a chumra like this. Let's say I poured the soup already from the big soup pot. I was cooking the soup on top of the fire. That's klisheni agabehesh. I take the pot of soup off of the fire, it's klisheni shalal gabehesh. So if I put in a raw egg and it's going to get hard boiled, that's bishul deraisa, the Gemara says. Bishul even shalal gabehesh. Let's say I pour the soup into a soup bowl, so that's klisheni. So the Gemara says, if I put in tavlin, I'll put in flavoring into the soup bowl, and the flavoring is such, I'm not going to eat it. The flavoring, let's say I put in flavoring and it dissolves, and you can't see it. I put in the flavor, I'm going to put in a tea bag or something, then I'm going to take it out. I'm not going to eat the tea bag. I'm going to drink the soup. I'm going to drink the tea. So if you put in tavlin, which you're not going to eat, a tavlin that gets dissolved, then it's not oymid bifnei atzma. So then the Mishnah says there's no bishul b'klisheni. What if you put in klisheni? What if you put in matzah? I put in challah. I put in pieces of challah into the bowl of burning hot soup, the klisheni bowl of hot soup. So we usually have a din in bishul achad bishul, but over here the challah was never cooked; it only had afiyah. So we machmer like the Yireim, the yesh bishul achad afiyah. Yeah, but it's tachak klisheni. So when machmer like that opinion in Tosfos, Tosfos quotes a suffix from the Ri. Maybe you should be machmer with the rabbana that yesh bishul be klisheni if there's a dover gush that you're going to eat. If it's tavlin, you're not going to eat it. So that's the mishnah in bishul be klisheni. If I have a burning hot cup of coffee and it's too hot and I pour in water, so the cold water that I pour in gets burning hot, but it gets dissolved in all the water. It's not nikah, it's not oimid bifnei atzma. If I'm going to mix in sugar or salt that was never cooked before, usually the sugar and salt was cooked before. That's same bishul acha bishul. Even if I put in sugar and salt that was never cooked before, and there's an issue of bishul, but the klisheni is not mevashel, so it's going to get dissolved, it won't be noticeable. What if I put in a big chunk of challah, a big chunk of matzah, and the matzah was never cooked before? So we say there's a chashash of bishul achar afiyah. So in the Rabbanan, we're machmen that there's bishul b'klisheni mechzikim mevashel, marisai. So there, that's only bishul in a klisheni. Once I put to a klishlishi, that for sure is no chumah. That this chumah in the Rabbanan doesn't apply. But when you're talking about bishul b'klisheni, whether there's a bliya, the Ramban holds that the truth is no bishul b'klisheni. But a bliya there will be, so that's even in a klishlishi. Calls man that it's yatzalet, there'll be a bliya. Well, let's say you have kali habishul. Kali habishul, kulyus or ispinin. Kulyus is a fish, ispinin from the Spanish Mediterranean. So ispinin is Spain, Rashi says. So if you have a fish that's kali habishul and it's bishul b'klisheni, so it'll be bishul deraisa niklishlishi also. If it'll do the trick, it'll do the trick. The cases where we make on the klishlishi is when the whole issa to put in the dover gush into the klisheni because Mexican mevashel, because you're cooking a dover gush. So then we make a lot of the klishlishi. But when you're really concerned about a real issue of bishul, then klishlishi doesn't play a role. Doesn't make anything easier.
A common thing is people take water, that's klishlishi, but a tea bag
in. Right, that's a different reason why. The tea bag you don't eat. So there's no chumra of bishul b'klisheni on the tea bag. Should really be mutter. So some achrayim are concerned maybe it's kala bishul. So what does it help if you put it into the klishlishi? Kala bishul is also klishlishi also. So the truth of the matter is we know it's not kala bishul. That's what the chayyadim said. That's what the chazanish writes. The tea bag is not kala bishul. Tachshverach umr. Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Binyan Tzion from Yankov Etlaga. Then maybe the tea bag is kala bishul. Tachshverach umr. So the chumra is really based on a different thing. The chayyadim came up with a chumra that true, there's no bishul b'klisheni if it's yad saledis, but if it's yad nichvis, then he thinks there is bishul b'klisheni. Yad nichvis means mamish scalding hot. If you put your finger in, it'll burn off part of the skin. So that's a chumrah that the Chayyadim says based on a Rambam. So the Chayyadim himself explains why it's only a chumrah. The Rambam never really said it. The Rambam said it in a different place, in Gabi Tevel, in Hilchas Maisris he has. It doesn't really say it by Shabbos. So that the whole thing is a chumrah. The whole thing with not to put the tea bag in the klisheni. Rav Soloveitchik said his grandfather was a very religious man and his grandfather put the tea bags in the klisheni. I think he meant his mother's father. I think he meant because most of the time as a teenager he was brought up by his grandfather, his mother's father. And when he said this, and she didn't say which grandfather, I think he meant the mother's father. So he said he always uses tea bags in the klisheni. That's the mishnah that tavla in the klisheni is mutter.
Certainly,
No, klishlishi the minig is lohakol. So the chazanish says the real chumrah not to put a tea bag in the klisheni is because maybe it's that nichlis. By the time you pour the water into the klishlishi, we assume the degree of the temperature went down, so it's no longer yad nichlis. That's what the chazanish says. That's where the minig comes from. Okay. We have in this week's Sedra, we have the pasuk that appears on the Liberty Bell. Across from Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveh. I used to live in Philadelphia. We used to walk on Shabbos to visit the Liberty Bell. And I shall proclaim liberty throughout the land and to all its inhabitants. L'chol Yoshveh. So the Gemara says in the end of Erchin, what does it mean across from Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveh? That the Shnas HaYovel, it says in the Yovel, in the Jubilee year, the Eved Ivri goes free on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel. He goes for you blow shofar on Yom Kippur Shel Yovel to announce Shichra Cheirus for the Eved Ivri. The Eved Kanani, the other Mem Tavoyda, doesn't go free. The Eved Ivri goes for either Sheish, the end of 6 years since he bought him, or Yovel, whichever one comes first. So what does it mean, Cross from Dror Ba'aretz L'chol Yoshveh? What's the significance of that expression? So the Gemara says, Yovel is only Noyeg, Menatur Bizman Shekol Yoshvehu Aleo. when the majority of the world Jewish population is living in Eretz Yisrael, Shechem, the Shvatov, this is Shevet Reuven, this is Shevet Shimon, this is Shevet Zvulun, this is Shevet Yisach, everybody knows where they live. So the whole din of Yovel only applies to Bizman Shekol Yoshveh Ho'leh. So Bizman Hazeh, we don't have Kol Yoshveh Ho'leh. We don't even have the majority of the world Jewish population living in Eretz Yisrael. And even when they will move to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says there, Yochol, the Gemara says an Erechin. Yochol, one might mistakenly think that if all the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, but they're all mixed in together, that they'll also call Yashveh Aleh, Talmud Loima. No. Shevet Reuven has to be living in this section. Shevet Shimon has to be living in this section. So you see, it's an interesting halacha that the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael have an influence on Eretz Yisrael, and Eretz Yisrael has an influence on the Jewish people. There are certain mitzvahs that only apply to the Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, and the Rambam writes in a few places, because only those who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Klal Yisrael. The Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are considered Ki Yechidim Domo. They're considered individuals, even though 95% of the Jews, 99% of the Jews live in Chutz La'aretz, just a handful of Jews live in Eretz Yisrael. The dominion of Jews who live in Eretz Yisrael, that's called Klal Yisrael. And all the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz are called Yechidim. That's how the Rambam writes in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. When you get to Kiddush HaChodesh, Kiddush HaChodesh has to be done in Eretz Yisrael. Yibur Hashana, Smicha can only be conferred in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rambam explains these halachas have to do with Klal Yisrael. Smicha is not a din, a private Talmud Chacham. Smicha has a right to confer to his Talmud. He has the right to give Smicha and his Talmud. A person has Smicha has a right to represent Klal Yisrael to confer Smicha and his Talmud. There's no private Smichas. Real Smicha. Bizman is a Smicha is only imitation Smicha. But when it was real Smicha, the Smicha was given as the Talmud Chacham representing goal of Klal Yisrael. So Klal Yisrael is only when you're in Eretz Yisrael. That's what the Rambam writes, Kiddush HaChodesh and Yibur HaShana has to take place in Eretz Yisrael. Kiddush HaChodesh, the Kviyas Haloch is done by Klal Yisrael. So the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael has an influence on them. There's a mitzaref of Klal Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is the national homeland of the Jewish people. And those who live in Eretz Yisrael are considered Klal Yisrael. And on the other hand, the Klal Yisrael living in Eretz Yisrael give Eretz Yisrael a stronger Kedusha. When you don't have Kol Yoshveh Ho'leh, so the level of Kedusha Saretz is lower. There is Kedusha Saretz, but it's a lower level of Kedusha. So the Din of Yovel, which is from the Mitzvah Satliyas Varetz, is one of the agricultural mitzvahs, no longer applies. And we even Paskin, the Sifra, has a Machlekes Satanoim. Every 7 years is Shemitah. After 49 years, after observing seven Shemitahs, the 50th year is a Yovel. So it doesn't say one way or the other. What if you know in advance from year number one that it won't lead up to Yovel because you don't have Kol Yoshveh Ho'leh? So is the observance of Shemitah Deraisa or Derabbanan? So that's a Machlekes Hatanaim in the Sifra. So Rashi and the Gemara in the beginning of the first daf in Moed Katan, and then by Pruzbul, the Sugya Pruzbul in the middle of Gittin, daf Lamed Zayin. So Rashi says we paskan like Rebbe's opinion in the Sifra. If you know in advance that you don't have Kol Yoshveh Ho'leh, and the Shemitah, the observance of the Shemitah will not be able to lead up to observance of a Yovel, then the whole Shemitah is only by the Rabbanon. That's why Rov HaPoskim, the Ruba of the Poskim held that Shemitah Bizman is as the Rabbanon, because we know it's not going to lead up to any Yovel. So it's an interesting halacha. When the Jews live in Eretz Yisrael, are living in Eretz Yisrael, if you have Kol Yoshveh Ho'leh, the Rov of Klal Yisrael live in Eretz Yisrael, endows a deeper degree of Kedusha to Eretz Yisrael. And Eretz Yisrael has an influence on the Klal Yisrael, that those Jews who are living in Eretz Yisrael have the status of the Tzibur of Klal Yisrael. And all the Jews who live in Chutz La'aretz, the Gemara says, are considered Ki Yechidim Domo.
I mean, I heard that there's discussion that we might be at that stage of Rov Yisrael living in Klal Yisrael.
No, right.
Not now, even now, with the assimilation.
Right, but 7 million. Right, but the Pashtus is that it's not correct. Because the Gemara said... Because the Gemara says in the end of Erechin, it's not sufficient to satisfy the requirement of Kol Yoshveh, it's not sufficient that 51% of Kol Yisrael lives in Eretz Yisrael. They have to be Shochen L'Shivteyim. You have to know this is Shevet Reuven and this is Shevet Shimon. Nobody knows who they are now. We just know Kohanim or Levim. And the Levim are not living in the Ori Halvim.
Those two things are tied together.
Yeah, the Gemara says that's the definition of Kol Yoshveh Ho'leh. You have a rov of the Jews living in Eretz Yisrael plus... Each Shevet is living differently. No, we hope Mashiach should come somewhere. Good.
Yeah. 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 one tana was saying you're never going to bring him back?
Yeah, yeah.
So it never can happen?
Mistama, the rive of them will be lost forever, but some of them will be there. There will be, the shvatim will be represented.
If you eat a hot chicken soup,